This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Listening to Jax
and Dean
on our podcast.
This is our podcast.
It is up. I've just said that, Dean.
This is our podcast.
Oh, it's still our podcast now. That's cute.
Yay.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Play the podcast, please.
You've got Joy Law. Jack and Dean.
Joy Law. Put your shoulders away. It's time to talk law. We are joined in the studio from by the team from KHQ Lawyers. It is the lovely Chris and the lovely Adrian. Welcome back.
Hi guys.
Thank you.
Put your shoulder pads on.
There's a lot of clapping there. Thanks for that, studio audience. Well, we've been following with interest, budding love. A couple of weeks back, we met a new couple who met online.
Did we name them?
We didn't name them.
We really got to. Maybe we should do a call-in for that at some point. Name the couple.
Name the couple.
Yes.
The nameless couple. Maybe we'll call them Sam and Joe today.
Beautiful.
Ooh, okay. Gender neutral name.
Oh,
Sam
I
and
love
Joe.
It.
Yeah.
Love
like
it.
That.
Yeah.
Joe was happy today, only.
Like what you've done there.
Now, they hooked up online.
Yes.
They protected themselves, so it didn't get awkward.
Everything in writing.
Good.
Everything was in writing.
We learned A+.
Real sexy. Yep.
And then what happened? Then they went shopping together.
Yes.
And they decided, a bit too early in the relationship to be making any significant financial investments together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But if we were to do it, we would put it in writing.
In writing.
And now, this week, they're going to move in together.
Big call.
Moving in together. Shacking up.
They are shacking up. So obviously, hoping that they could buy first, but what we're going to talk about is what happens if you want to lease a property.
Yeah, so I guess if we're signing a lease, I guess one of the things you want to think about is, should it be in both of your names? And I guess at the end of the day, it's up to you, but some things that you might want to consider is a lease that is signed by more than one party is regarded as a co-tenancy. So both people are on the lease there. And under this arrangement, all the tenants are jointly and severally liable. And that creates, I guess, a joint obligation. So if one person caused loss or damage to the landlord, both parties will be jointly liable. So that's one thing to consider, both of them, if both their names are on there. Yeah, they're both liable.
So this is if you're going into a new arrangement, you're renting a new place.
Yeah.
What if you're moving in with someone who's already got their own place?
Really good question. Yeah. So you're really vulnerable in those circumstances. And as Adrian said, you would be considered to be what's called a subtenant. So they can turn around and go, not working for me, see you later. There's nothing in writing to say you should be there. If you don't leave, you're legally trespassing. You won't be able to remove items of property. So you are quite vulnerable. So if you're going... You can be added to a lease, I should say. So if you are moving in with someone and they already have a great place, no problem. Just get added to the lease. That would be my advice.
Mm. But you'd take half the stuff out of the wardrobe. I think you would, wouldn't you? You'd have to share half the space.
Get that in writing.
Get a two-bedroom, put it in the other room.
Get a three-bedroom.
Yeah.
God.
It's
my cupboard. I don't know how it goes sharing.
No, you've just got your one separate Hugo Boss cupboard. Little suits. It's the whole bedroom.
It's the whole bedroom.
A Hugo's room.
For my suits.
Mm. Yeah, and I guess just one of the other things to consider.
Moving along there.
Let's talk suits.
Absolutely. One of the other things you can consider as well is if you are a subtenant, as Christina was mentioning, you do have the same rights and responsibilities, I guess, apply to subtenants as apply to head tenants, except I guess that head tenant who has the relationship with the landlord, they're now essentially your landlord as the subtenant.
Yeah, it's a power imbalance for you.
Yeah.
I love it. Look, going into a new relationship, like, it's funny because if someone came to me and said, look, I'm looking at this new relationship, I want him or her to move in, not sure if it's going to work. My advice to the person who has the place is don't put them on the lease because you don't know if it's going to work. But then if the person that was moving in came to me and said, look, I'm leaving this great apartment, I'm putting all my faith into this relationship, I'm really worried that if it doesn't work, I'll be out on the street. I'm like, you put your name on the lease.
Get on that lease.
So it really, you're vulnerable on both sides. So it really just depends who you act for as to what advice you give. Mm. But generally speaking, if you need to change a lease, landlords generally are quite good with doing that, and real estate agents will deal with them on your behalf, or you can just get a lawyer involved.
Is it likely that the real estate agent might want to look at the risk of the person being added to the lease?
100%. So if they, some people don't even disclose that they're having someone else move into the property, and the reason for that is they might have bad credit, bad reports from previous landlords, those sorts of things.
Yeah, that's who you want to move in with.
Yeah, I know, 100%.
I wonder why it's so bad.
Or they might not work.
Yeah.
And they might not be able to physically be on the lease. So, yeah, there are a number of things.
Joy.
And we're following developments close to hand. In a burgeoning relationship between Sam and Joe. Are they male? Yes. Are they female? Do they identify as non-binary? Doesn't matter. They've just found love. They identify as people in love, and they've just moved in together.
Big step.
They've got a lease.
Yep.
Yeah.
But then what if things weren't to go to plan and maybe they would fall out of love? What would happen?
So two scenarios. We spoke about one. If there is only one person on the lease, the person who's not on the lease, it's essentially goodbye, and along with the majority of the items in the property. Sometimes it costs more to engage a lawyer and try and negotiate the return of personal items or half of a couch or half of a fridge than what it would actually cost to replace them. So you've really got to make, and I'm putting aside sentimental value, obviously.
Mm. But if you went out and bought, say, a new queen size or king size bed, you couldn't return it.
Yeah.
But one of you'd have to keep it.
Correct. Yeah. And the legal fees in trying to argue that wouldn't be worth it. So, you just cut your losses there.
So don't invest in a king-size waterbed.
No, don't. Oh, the waterbeds. I remember the old waterbeds.
You remember the old waterbeds?
I love them. Good. Showing my age, aren't I? Jeez.
Isn't it like double bouncing yourself?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. A little bit like that.
Seasickness. So, obviously, if you're not on the lease, vulnerable. But if you're both on the lease and you're on a fixed-term lease, so generally when you sign a lease, it's for a period of time and you can't break it within that period of time. Generally, 12 months. So the only way you can break it is with the consent of the landlord, and you've really got to have exceptional reasons for doing that. If he doesn't consent and you want to break it early, you have to pay them out the rest of the lease. So you can move out, but you've got to pay the lease until it would have expired. But if you, after a period of a fixed lease, you then go month to month. So if it's a month to month lease, after that, 28 days notice, and you can get out.
What if the person won't go and you change the locks?
If they're not on the lease and the locks are changed, you can get an intervention order and keep them out. And that you can make that application to the court by yourself, and it's literally they're not to come to the property.
Mm. Changing the locks just feels really...
What if they had a paper trail, though? They weren't on the lease, but then they had, like, a receipts of when they paid for the rent.
Still vulnerable.
All right.
Still really vulnerable.
What if? No.
What if it's a Wednesday?
Yeah. I mean, and the other issue, and I know we've spoken about it in the past, but if there is an intervention order, so you haven't actually broke up, but there's been an incident and that is the end of your relationship, and either the police have taken out an intervention order or you have personally, you can actually then apply to VCAT, which is Victorian Civil and Administrative Tribunal, who actually moderate and all of leases and everything. You can apply to them and just produce the intervention order, and the lease will be changed to your name only and remove the other partner. And that's a recent amendment, and that's a great amendment, in my view, because it protects them and they can stay in the property. You know, generally they're the more vulnerable ones. It could be kids, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're protected.
We've talked about intervention orders in the past and we have had messages in. Is it hard to get an intervention order?
No, it's not. So it's a bit controversial, the old intervention order, because some people use it as a back way to litigation in the family court. So husband and wife, like, you can't make somebody leave if there's no violence. They have to apply to the family court. Very expensive to do so. And it's called a sole use order. So they have the sole use of the home. So a lot of people instead go to the magistrate's court. When you first apply for an intervention order, the other party isn't there.
Yep.
So they can say whatever they want in the application. Obviously, you don't want to be misleading the court, but, you know, just say they lied. Interim intervention order is made and it doesn't get contested until the actual final hearing, which could be 6 or 12 months away. So in the interim, you've got this order against you, and you can't do anything about it.
So while that interim order is in place, the other party who you feel threatened by, whether it's, is not able to
they can't
approach you or...
Yeah, so the general terms are they can't come within 5 metres, they can't come within 200 metres of your workplace of residence or the kids' school or kinder, they can't contact you, they can't put anything on social media, they can't communicate with you in any form except through a lawyer. And then there are exceptions if you're in the family court for seeing the children and things
like that. Even though it's called an interim order and you're waiting maybe 12 months for it to be heard, the power of that order...
Yep.
is in place and will protect you.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing about an intervention order, it's only as strong as you enforce it. So if you've got an order and they come over and you're like, oh, that's okay, you're not really using the order to your advantage. You've got to, and that happens when people aren't ready to break up or whatever it might be, but protection is there.
But what if someone's not mentally stable and they take one out on you? And it's like
that's the flip side of it, is that, you know, we have this in place to protect the vulnerable, but then you've got the flip side of people that are abusing it either intentionally or unintentionally due to mental health, and there's pretty much not a lot you can do in the interim. Yeah. So you're stuck with this order and you're stuck not going near them until your day in court in 12 months' time. So it's not a great system, and really there needs to be some sort of testing of evidence early on, but we're just so jammed in the courts that it's just not going to happen.
So we're talking about worst case scenarios here. Let's flip it again. So back to Sam and Joe, new love, moving in together. What's the one key message for people in that situation?
One key message? Oh, it's limiting to one.
Is it?
Definitely matching outfits. But I would say move into an independent place. Fresh start. Fresh start. And at least with both your names on it.
At least with both names to give you both protection.
Fair play.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Chris and Adrian.
Thanks, guys.
Look forward to speaking with you again next week.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.